Blog Talk Radio.
Johnny boy, how's my Johnny boy today?
Hi, I'm doing good. How are you doing, Joanne?
I'm okay, honey. Happy Sunday. And did you get to watch that thing last night? The show they put on. I forgot the name of it. I'm sorry. Lady Gaga trying to raise money for the healthcare workers.
What we did is we recorded it. We're watching it today. Yeah, it was really good.
What was it called? The world of music or something? Or I can't remember.
Something
I didn't see the whole
thing.
No, but did you see? Oh, you didn't see it yet. When you see the Stones do their Zoom, oh my God! I couldn't believe it.
Well, that's really the only one I could really watch because I didn't really know who the other people were. So
yeah, well,
I knew the Stones.
Yeah, what I did see was really good. I didn't see the whole thing, but welcome everybody to the Blog Radio Show. I'm sorry, Johnny. What?
Oh, no, the funny thing was that when I was in high school, I sat right across from Patty Hansen. And Patty Hansen is Keith Richards' wife. And
right.
She was a model at the time. And, you know, she'd miss, like, days of school. We were wondering what else she was. And then one day she just never showed up anymore. And we found out that she was dating Keith Richards. So it's pretty funny.
Well, I wouldn't show up anymore either.
Yeah.
Well, we want to thank you all for joining us, and we're going to have a lot of fun tonight. We got Barry Pearl from Greece. He played Duty, and he's done a lot of stage work. He's done so much. He's a fabulous actor. And we also have Mr. Scott Wood. He's known as Mr. Punchline. This guy is going to make you laugh like crazy. God knows who's going to show up tonight because he's an impressionist, and he is hysterical. So thank you to our sponsors, the High Bar Bistro in Garfield, New Jersey, Precious Memory Video in Kintnersville, Pennsylvania, KWV Wines in South Africa, and Tees for the Times from Clifton, New Jersey. Let's get the show rolling. Mr. Pearl, are you with us?
I am with you loud and clear.
How are you, sir?
I'm good. I'm good. By the way, I didn't watch it. It was called One World, the program
you.
Last night, the broadcast. Yeah.
I knew it was something World.
I was completely unaware of it, unfortunately. I hope that I'll be able to catch it on YouTube at some point. But I hear it was wonderful. Best friend told me that he watched. There were eight hours of broadcast.
It was long.
So I hope
I think they raised like $140 million or so. Something
wow,
with a 1-4. It's either $14
that's
million or
great.
$140 million. Yeah, so that's amazing.
That's true.
Yeah, so, but, welcome. We want to say thank you so much for joining us. How are you making out in these crazy times these days?
I'm doing pretty well. My wife is working from home now. She's in commercial real estate management and has been working for a company for the last 34 years. And recently, at the beginning of this year, she switched offices to just about around the corner from us. And now, because of this, she's working from home, which is great. It's rather odd, but I'm kind of enjoying the reclusiveness of it because I'm always coming and going and running and racing, and now I'm forced to stay home. I'm cleaning out our garage, and I have got stuff there, Joanne, from when God was a child. I mean, stuff that I brought back from the East Coast when my mom and my aunt passed away, And I've just kept it there for years, and it's time to go through it. And I
right.
have, it's been like a treasure hunt. The things that I've been finding have been just phenomenal, including my original Grease scripts and gifts
cool.
and cards from back in the day. And that's been great. That's really been a great find.
Yeah, I did the attic too. And when I did the attic, I was like, oh wow, look at this, look at that. I couldn't believe I found all this amazing stuff. So, oh, that's great.
Exactly. So, you know, we're staying home. We're following the rules, and you know, fortunately, we have a house. So I've got a front yard, a backyard. We've got a neighborhood, very suburban. We can walk around the block if we wish, and we're not going to get in, you know, anybody's way or hurt anybody or have anybody hurt us. So, listen, we consider ourselves blessed and fortunate that we have this. My heart goes out to the folks that do not, that are confined to a one room, a studio apartment, you know, in wherever. And I cannot imagine. My heart breaks.
And by themselves.
Yeah, that's correct. That's exactly correct.
Right.
So,
the elderly, our grandparents that we can't visit. I mean, you know, our own parents, you know, it's crazy.
Right. Exactly. I mean, the people who have passed away without a loved one next to them, and that loved one whose loved one has passed away, and the feelings that they have about, you know, being absent for that experience. I mean, it's totally heartbreaking. I cannot even begin to imagine what that's like.
I know. It's horrible. It's horrible. But I'm curious to know, your wife's in real estate. How is she selling houses now with the fact that we can't
She's in commercial real estate management. So she doesn't. She works for a company that buys and sells large properties like the Transamerica building and the Del Coronado Hotel. So she's in the. Yeah, she's in the accounting department of that company.
I thought she was a realtor. Sorry.
No. That's got to be hurting real estate agents.
Everybody.
But even in her business, you know, if the company sells too many acquisitions, then that puts her job in jeopardy, actually. So, you know, nothing's moving at this point in time. I think everything's pretty much status quo. But they're in charge of, you know, getting rents and all that stuff from people that are renting from, you know, from building owners. It's tough all around. Everybody's getting hit.
I know. Well, let's get to, unfortunately, I don't want to forget about what's going on, but let's for a moment just forget it so we can move on to happier things for a second. Speaking of your attic, where is your T-Bird jacket?
Under lock and key.
Yeah, I bet. Is one of those got to be in the Smithsonian? Is one of them in the Smithsonian?
I don't know. I was fortunate enough to be able to get mine and the sneakers, and I had my squirt gun for a while, but that disappeared. I think somebody might have snatched that up from me.
That squirt gun was your idea, too. That wasn't even in the script.
Yes, it was. Yes. There was a lot of stuff that wasn't in the script. No, what had happened was the prop man had I'm going to sneeze. Hold on one second. Thank you. The prop guy had brought Michael Tucci. I'm going to sneeze again.
That means it's true.
Sneezing to the truth. Yes. You're absolutely right, my mother used to say. But he brought Michael Tucci, who played Sonny, and Kelly Ward played Putzy and I, into his prop truck, and he said, "Guys, take anything you want here that you think your character, you know, would have." Excuse me, sneeze to the truth again.
Oh my goodness!
And Michael,
I hope
Michael
you're not said, allergic to us, Barry.
I hope you're not getting sick now, Barry.
No, as John Travolta's character says, a little drive-in dust. It's a little drive-in dust. So, Michael took a rabbit's foot, and I think Kelly might have taken a medallion of some sort. I also wore a medallion. I think it was a St. Jude medal. And then I took the squirt gun, and the squirt gun showed up in a bunch of scenes. And especially in the scene where the scorpions are driving by, I think it's in the bonfire scene. And Kinnicky, the late, my dear friend, Jeff Conaway, may he rest in peace. When the scorpions pass by, he whips out his switchblade. And in that moment, it was totally improvisational. I whipped out my squirt gun. That's going to do something.
You know. Classic. A little classic, right?
Yeah.
Oh,
truly. And totally improvised. You know, that, like
right.
said,
I know.
None of that was in the script.
No, no. I knew that. I've actually watched the backstory on Grease on Reels, which was fabulous. Did you catch that?
Yeah, I did. I get a little emotional at the end there. With a little, pardon me?
You didn't like it?
Well, I liked it. I just got a little emotional at the end, and it was.
Of course.
You know, it was a little embarrassing, I guess, in a way. But people seem to like it. I thought at the time when it happened, I thought, well, I was being honest, you know. But then when I watched back at it, for me, it's a little cringeworthy. But it was a good good production, you know.
It was
and,
it was
well done.
As your average
and people
like
it.
As your average Joe watching, I can say it was very good.
Well, good.
Yes. So now you weren't in the original Grease, the play. Were you on Broadway at all, or did you have any affiliation?
No, I was in the original First National Tour. What happened was it was a tour that John Travolta played Duty, and Jeff Conaway was playing Zuko.
Zach,
the great director Jerry Zaks, is playing Kinnicky. Mary Lou Henner was playing Marty. Who else might you remember from there? I'm trying to think who else. Eventually, Greg Evigan from BJ and the Bear, he took over. And Barry Bucknell actually took over. He was the original Zuko. He did it out here in California while it was here. I actually did one performance with him. I came in out and I replaced Michael Lembeck, who played Sonny. And so I did the last 10 months of the First National Tour. We did eight months in Chicago and 2 months in Toronto. And then from there, then, you know, I got the film years later. In fact, what's interesting is I landed the role it was set 1973. I'd gone to see the show. A friend of mine was touring in the show when I was going to college in Pittsburgh. Yeah. And I know John Lansing, who went on to write and produce Walker, Texas Ranger. He's now a novelist.
Oh, wow.
John and I had worked together in 1972, in the summer of 72, and the fall with the Chicago Free Street Theater. And so here we are now in the late fall the early winter of 73. I went back and finished my senior year at college, and John went on to understudy in the First National Tour of Grease. And when they came through Pittsburgh, he said, come on down to see the show, Barry. Because there are parts in it for you. And friends of mine who I'd gone to college with at Carnegie Mellon kept telling me how much I reminded them of their friend Michael Lembeck, who they had gone to school with in Los Angeles before they transferred to Pittsburgh. And I saw Michael Lembeck in this thing. He comes walking out on stage. It was like watching myself. So I got on the phone with my agent the following day, and soon thereafter I got I told them, you got to get me an audition for this, a general audition. So I did, and I flew into New York for the audition, and then a week or so later, Michael Lembeck had broken his ankle. So they called me to come back to audition for a callback, and I went in, and I got the gig, and they wanted me to come immediately. They were in Toronto at that point in time, too. It was the first time they were in Toronto, but I had 2 more weeks of school of my senior year to finish, and they said, well, okay, you finish that, and then we'll bring you up to Detroit where the show was going to be. So I flew up and I understudied the understudy, basically. And the understudy went on for the role of Sonny. But if anybody else went down, that understudy would go into that position, and then I'd do Sonny. Well, I remember going to Jerry Zaks, who was playing Kinnicky, and I said, hey, listen, do you mind feigning illness so that the understudy Tommy can go on and I can get a chance to do Sonny? He said, well, only if stage management says it's okay. Well, I knew that wasn't going to happen, and sure enough, he said no, they said no. Well, May 19th of 1973, it was a Saturday, I get a call in my hotel room from the stage manager, Hal Halverson. He said, Barry, Jerry Zaks is sick. You're going on for Sonny. Well, I think they all had a plan. They just didn't want me to be part of it, I think. So May 19th of 1973, I stepped on stage at the Fisher Theater in Detroit to play Sonny. 4 years to the day later, May 19th of 1977, I got the film. I landed the film. So
it's amazing.
Yeah.
Now Jeff Conaway, he's an amazing guy. I mean, I actually met him in New York. I don't remember what play it was he was in. It wasn't Grease, but I met him in New York, and he was just a wonderful guy. I can't even tell you how kind he was. And, I mean, I know you guys were a really close clique and, like, almost family. I mean, how did that go with him and John Travolta, him getting the part of Zuko and him being Kaneki, when actually Jeff Conaway played Zuko in the originals, you know? So were they okay,
right,
the two of them? Did it take a while for them to get over this? Or?
Well, a couple of things. First of all, in my real life, Jeff was Zuko in real life. We grew up together.
Right.
And
oh, did you really?
Was like the bad boy. Yeah, in New York, in the city.
Isn't that funny?
And
then you walked on the street.
Yeah.
How funny is that?
So we were friends back then, not real close friends. You know, we would bump into each other occasionally. We had a band that played at parties that I would go to. But anyhow, Jeff was the first person I ever saw play Zuko, and it really lives in him. I mean, he really is Zuko, and as wonderful as Barry Bostwick was, and as wonderful as John is in the movie, Jeff really was Zuko, and.
Right.
There were feelings that Jeff had about taking second position, but, you know, he turned Kaneki into something that was pretty fabulous.
Absolutely.
So he does wonderful work. And, yes, there were some hard feelings, but nothing that he couldn't get over. I mean, the Grease Lightning song is Kaneki's song. But, listen, at the time, you know, the dollar signs – are very big in the eyes of the producers, and they know what side of the bread the butter's on there. So people are coming to see Travolta, you know, and to see Olivia. They get that, and everybody understood that. Now, intellectually, you know, they all got it. I mean, emotionally is a whole other thing, but he dealt with it. You know, he was fine with it. And it's funny because it's pretty much in retrospect that I'm remembering this. At the time, I don't remember much consternation, quite honestly, about it.
Yeah, because
it may have been for me. I may have been oblivious to it. You know, I don't know. Afterwards, after the fact, we got to talk about the fact that he would have liked to have done it, but John wanted to do it, and that's the way that rolled out. And you win some, you lose some, but
You could never tell, you know, based on, you know, how well the cast did and everything. You could never tell if there was a problem or any rifts amongst the group. And I don't think there was, based on, you know, what I saw.
No.
I mean, you guys became a family. And, you know, I mean, are you still close with any of the guys?
Very.
Mindy
Very.
And all those guys? Do you guys do any of the conventions for autographs and all that? You should really do that.
Yes, we've done them. We've done them, many of them. In fact, the most amazing thing we just did, and we've done Schiller Theater in New Jersey. We did the Comic-Con and other ones. Scott Schwartz, who played the role of Flick in the movie Christmas Story, the kid that gets his tongue caught on the pole. He produces and does autograph shows. And he had one in St. Louis. We did one there. And I had been, you know, for the years, kind of the unofficial go-to guy, the guy that wrangles everybody together to get together to do these things and to work out deals with people and producers and such for film clips, et cetera, et cetera. And so we, this past December, John and Olivia and Michael Tucci and Kelly Ward, Randall Kleiser, our casting director, Joel Thurm, and I were brought down to Florida, and we did three what they call meet and greets, where a certain amount of people would pay to come and have their photograph taken and to meet John and Olivia. And then we were the booby prize. They didn't know that we were going to be there. And the three T-Birds. And then at the beginning, we played these huge amphitheaters in West Palm Beach, Tampa, and Jacksonville. And they would show the sing-along version of the film. If you've ever seen that, it's kind of like Follow the Bouncing Ball, but it's more than a bouncing ball. It's all this animation.
Yeah.
It's fabulous. It's
right.
Randall put together. And so at the beginning, there were thousands of people there, but about 150 to 250 people prior to the screening that would come and meet us and get their photograph taken. And then Randall came out and introduced the three of us. We came out onto the stage and raised the roof. It was great. We felt like rock stars. And we did a little pre-show, and then they showed the film. At the end of the film, where the car flies off into the distance, John and Olivia come out from under the screen. And the screen was huge LED light. I mean, it wasn't a front or rear projection. It was LED lights. So everything was crystal clear. And you could make them as big as an entire building if you wanted to. So they would come out underneath the screen, and then we'd do a little Q&A, a little singing and dancing. And there you have it. So, we are all still very close, very knit family, yes.
Nice, nice. I mean, you've done a lot of other things, but it's not bad being remembered for one of the number one movies out there. What's it, like 30 years now? I mean, how old is it now?
No, it's more. No. We just celebrated like our 41st year, actually.
Wow.
It was released in 77. So, and we had 40th anniversary. A gathering at the Academy had honored us. Dee Dee was there, and it was Dee Dee, Johnny, Olivia, me, Randall Kleiser, Jamie Donnelly wasn't there. Then Mario Lopez hosted it. It was really cool.
He
asked us all kinds of questions.
It's 41 years old, yet when you watch it, it's as clear and new as you've never seen it before, you know, like it's always
That's something right. Different
about it, where you can catch something different each time you watch it, you know, and it's really
just
cool.
About it. And technology has helped to keep it looking that way too. I think that helps.
And
you know, it's a universal story: boy meets girl, boy loses girl, boy gets girl, and then the music and the dancing, and then those gorgeous faces of John and Olivia. You can't keep your eyes off of them. So it was kind of the perfect storm, if you will. Of all those disciplines, all those elements coming together, you know, that
don't hate
it
me.
What it is today.
Don't hate me. I hated the sequels. I didn't like the other ones.
not many people did, and unfortunately, we were supposed to have done the sequel. In fact, about 3 or 4 weeks into the principal photography, Alan Carr, rather, our producer, may he rest in peace, came to us and said, "We want to do a sequel." That's great. And then we found out that the T-Birds set up the sequel at the end of the first one. You know, when we failed Phys Ed and Sid Caesar, may he rest in peace, the Coach Calhoun said, you can't throw, but if you can come back, you'll come to summer school. So all you have to do is be able to you know, because we failed Phys Ed. So the name of the second film was going to be Summer School. Grease School was going to be Summer School. It was going to revolve around us going to summer school. But then it all fell apart. Bronte Woodard, who was the screenwriter, he passed away, and John and Olivia didn't care for the script, and all that negotiation fell apart. And then it became what it became. But I had a lot of friends in it, you know, in the second one. Adrian Zmed and Chris McDonald and Lorna Luff. I had a student in it also, Leif Green. He was one of the T-Birds. I saw it once. I watched it once. We had done one of those behind-the-scenes things, similar to the reels that you were talking about.
This was
Behind the Music, I think it was, and it was on MTV. And I think that what preceded that broadcast was Grease 2, and I'd never seen it, so I watched it. And you know, that was enough.
So what's going on today, Barry? Where can we see Barry Pearl nowadays? What's going on with Barry Pearl?
Well, for the last 6 years, springs and summers, I have been going and traveling across the country with Joey Travolta, one of John's older brothers, teaching film art, teaching film arts to the special needs community all across the country. And and last year we were in Florida. We usually do Northern California and then Pittsburgh and Tenafly, New Jersey, and Arkansas, Bentonville, Arkansas. And this year, they canceled the Little Rock, Arkansas, which we were to be at just about a week from now. And Vero Beach, Florida is going to probably be canceled, and the rest of them will be too because of the COVID-19. So that's been a big thing that I've been doing. And then I've done a production of Ragtime at Musical Theater West, played the role of grandfather in Ragtime, a beaut. If you've ever seen that musical, it's just a terrific musical, based on the film, based on L.L. Doctor's book. And then prior to that, I had done a straight play, The Man Who Came to Dinner, played the role of Banjo in The Man Who Came to Dinner. And, you know, so I'm still acting and directing, and I was to actually direct a production of Bye Bye Birdie in the fall, but that fell through, again, because of what's going on. We would have had to have gone into pre-production just about now. So we're waiting to see what happens. Hopefully we might be doing an online version of the summer film camps that Joey does.
Well, that's a great
idea. There's some, well, you know, if we can pull it off, if we can, you know, work with that platform, And then I just finished, just before calling in here, a friend of mine, I played the genie in California Adventures Aladdin many years ago, back in 2003 and 2004. And this is before it went to Broadway. And a whole bunch of guys have played. Pardon me?
Tell me about your part as Arnold in the Happy Days show that you guys did.
Oh, yeah. Well, let me just finish this, and then I'll tell you about that.
Absolutely.
What happened with the genie, my friend Jeff Sumner, who is one of the genies, many people who play genies, he just got in touch. All of us, about 15 of us, are going to do a little portion in the Genie song, You Never Had a Friend Like Me. And he's going to put that all together, and that'll be online at some point. Well, that's a little odd playing Arnold, because in Happy Days in the musical, because I'm neither Eurasian, nor am I a heavyset Italian man. You know,
hiring
me as Arnold. I have no idea why they hired me to do Arnold. But, you know, Gary Marshall, may he rest in peace, wrote a script based on Fonzie and Pinky Tuscadero getting together, and music was written by Paul Williams, and we had done and took it out on tour, but it didn't do very well. They just didn't receive it very well, unfortunately. Great music, and the book needed to be tweaked a little bit, but it just never got to where people were really really enjoying it, unfortunately.
So when are you writing your book? You need to write a book.
Oh gosh, Joanne, I cannot tell you how many people have asked this of me.
You've got amazing stories to tell. My goodness,
Joanne, you'd be surprised how many folks have said that. I even have a title for it, so it's something I've been thinking about for a long time. It's funny you say that, because You know who Alan Paul is? Have you ever heard of the Manhattan Transfer?
Yes.
The group, the Manhattan Transfer?
Yep.
So
Alan is
one of the original guys in Transfer. He's a good, good old friend of mine. We were both in Oliver together on Broadway, the original production of Oliver together. This is and he was also the original Teen Angel in Grease on Broadway. And I was talking to him the other day. We were on the phone for about an hour, because I'd come across some old pictures from Oliver, and I sent them to him, and he called me. He goes, I was just thinking about you. And he said, Barry, I'm writing my memoir. I said, really? That's funny you should say that, because people have been bugging me to do the same thing. So, you know, he was telling me about how he's, I'll never forget. I told him, I said, you were doing Grease on Broadway, and you were about to leave. And I said, why are you leaving? He said, well, because I'm going to do this a cappella group. I said, you crazy? You're in a Broadway show. He said, so many people told me that. Well, the rest is history. You know, he's done very well, a hugely popular, very, very talented group of people. So he's writing his book. Scott just wrote his book about the Christmas Story experience. And, it's in there somewhere. You know, it's possible that it could happen. D.D. Kahn wrote one. Randall Kleiser just had his published not too long ago. So it's been done,
And we need, and now we need the Barry Pearl one. We need that one.
I'll do my best.
You're homebound. Write that book.
Well, that's it. You're going through the garage and finding all this memorabilia, all these things that I can photograph and put into the book, you know.
Right.
So, it's quite possible. It's quite possible.
Where are you guys located?
Where are you guys?
My studio is in New Jersey, and John is in Pennsylvania.
So tell me, where in Jersey and where in PA?
I'm in Clifton, and John?
We're in Kitnersville. It's a very, very small rural town next to Riegelsville, Pennsylvania. We're about like an hour from Philly.
And you're originally from Pennsylvania, right?
I'm originally from Lancaster. And,
okay.
And, you know, and Jersey, I mean, we go back to Tenafly, like I said, the last 6 years. We've been, and when I'm in Tenafly, I usually go into the city and see some shows, see some people, get dinners.
Yeah.
So, I mean, my old haunting grounds. I love both of those states deeply, and you know, when I'm in Jersey, also I get to go back to Pennsylvania and visit my got family and friends back there. My cousin has a farm in New Providence, Pennsylvania, just outside of Lancaster, and just gorgeous country.
Let us know when you're in the area.
I'll do that. And I got to tell you that the best cheesesteaks in the nation are at Dottie's Snack Bar on 222 South. She's open from Memorial Day to Labor Day. You ain't never had a cheesesteak like this woman's cheesesteaks. I'm telling you.
In Jersey or Pennsylvania?
No, in Pennsylvania. Right in Quarryville. Between New Providence and Quarryville, Pennsylvania. It's like a roadside stand. It looks like a Dairy Queen. The best cheesesteaks in the nation.
I'll have to check it out. Oh, wow.
Yes,
well,
you must, Joanne.
Yes, definitely. Well, where can people find out more about you or reach you if they needed to? I'm sure they want to. How can they find Mr. Barry Pearl?
Facebook is the best place to go. And and you know, my website is just so out of date, and there's really no way to get in touch with you there. But Facebook is probably the best way. I just search my name out, and you can't post on my wall, but you can like friend request, and you can do things on my timeline. I think you can do things on my timeline. I'm not sure how I got that set up, but I'm out there. You know, I'm not hiding from anybody. Just the viruses.
Exactly. Well, Barry, we just want to thank you so much for joining us, especially in this crazy time. It's nice to have a cheery, different person to talk to and forget about things for a little while. And we wish you and your family, your wife, anything you want. Go ahead.
Just one more thing. There is another place you can get to me. I'm on the Cameo platform. Cameo, C-A-M-E-O. You know, are you familiar with Cameo?
Yes, we've heard Cameo. John Davidson told us all about it.
That's right. That's so funny you mentioned John Davidson, because I was just talking about him just the other day. Back in 1966, my best friend and I were hired to do a musical version of Prince and the Pauper, a film that we shot in Ireland, and it was based on a play, a musical version of The Prince and the Pauper that John starred in, you know, before he emerged, I guess, as the John Davidson that he is. He played the role of Miles Hendon, the hero. So funny you mentioned John. In any event, Cameo, if you go on to it's cameo.com, basically. And you can have us give you guys video shout-outs. Everybody charges something different for it, but it's worth it. In fact, I'm going to do one right after I get off the phone with you. And in fact, the ones that we did between the 16th and 18th are going to those funds are going to charity, our favorite charities. But you can get to us on Cameo. That's a great way to do it. I keep forgetting about that. But thank you for allowing me that shout out, Joanne.
No. Well, when we had John on the show, he told us about it, and I had never heard of it before. And he had told us about it, and it's a great idea. I mean, that's fabulous, you know, and especially for charity. Sure, that's wonderful.
Well, the last 3 days have been for that. It's not always that way. It was the 16th, 17th, and 18th. Have you booked anything between then in those days? And I just actually booked one yesterday that I have to do for somebody's birthday today. But because it was booked yesterday, the funds will go towards my favorite charity, which is at this point the Actors Fund. So I will send to them.
Very nice.
Thank you for having me on, guys. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Barry. Thank you so much.
Thank you. We'll get back to normal soon.
Please, dear Lord, from your mouth to God's ears, and Greece is the word.
You got it. All right. Barry Pearl, thank you so much, honey. Take care, and it's been a pleasure. You come on back anytime you'd like.
Anytime you'd like to have me, I'm there. Take good care, folks.
You got it. Bye-bye, Barry. Take care. Bye.
Bye.
What a great guy.
Hey, Joanne.
Yeah. Yeah.
What the funny thing today, out of the blue, I get a phone call. You guys probably recognize the name Ivanka Trump. Okay.
Oh, okay.
And she tells me that the President Donald J. Trump is a huge fan of, believe it or not, our radio show. So at this point, I think we have a special guest on the line. He just finished the coronavirus updates and everything, and he's taking a little time out, and he's going to join us on the show. Mr. President, are you there?
It is absolutely terrific, 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 John, Joanne. I love what you're doing. I love you. I'm a huge fan. Absolutely huge. Terrific, terrific. Tremendous.
Well,
you're doing a great job. People say I have a face for radio.
Yes, I do too. Thank God. So
I wanted to chime in. You're doing a terrific job. I love what you guys are doing. You're reaching millions. And as you know, I've been tested. My doctor, I'm negative. So I'm completely negative.
Well, we thank you for calling, Mr. Trump. I'm going to leave it at that. Folks who know me know I'm not good friends with Mr. Trump, so I'm going to leave it at that. So I don't know if you have anybody else with you, Mr. Trump, but we
have so many terrific people, as you know. Everyone.
Yes, well,
thank
you for calling. We do appreciate it.
Absolutely. I got to get back now.
Thank you.
I just ran into Nancy Pelosi in the men's room.
Okay.
We're heading back. God bless. Terrific. Terrific.
Bye. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Please do a good job. Thank you.
Will do.
Is Scott Wood with us or is somebody else with us, John?
No, it's me. Joanne.
Ah, Mr. Wood. Hey, everybody. Welcome, Mr. Scott Wood. He's a fabulous comedian. He's known as Mr. Punchline. His impersonations are fabulous. And Scott, thank you. We need some laughter. Hit us with it, honey.
Well, we do. We do need laughter. It's a crazy time. Someone sneezed in Walmart. Everyone hit the floor like they heard gunshots.
It was crazy.
I
know. It's insane. It's insane.
It's insane. My dog's wearing a mask. Forget about it. You don't know. You know. I'm telling you. I'm holding a cardboard sign outside my house. It says, "We'll work for toilet paper." So, because we're out here, we're out. But thanks for having me on the show. Me and all the voices in my head. We love what you guys are doing. And like Trump said, tremendous, terrific, absolutely tremendous.
Yeah.
And of course, Barack Obama. I want to chime in, America. Me, of course, my wife Beyonce. I'm here with our two girls, Venus, Serena. I mean, let's face it. I mean, Trump is a bully. The man's a bully. Bully, 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 bully. A little Obama. I do Trump and Obama. I'm an equal opportunity offender.
You have to be. So, unfortunately, I guess a lot of your gigs have been canceled, but
yes.
We're so happy you joined us tonight, and I couldn't wait because I just needed to laugh a little bit, you know? So.
Well, yes, I've got nothing but time on my hands, all the comedians, all the entertainers do, but we're getting through this, and we're excited. Next week I am headlining my living room, very exciting, and but you do what you can, you know? You do what you can, It's always nice to just get on the radio and do shout outs and voices and just keep doing what I've been doing for the last 30 years. What a career.
Right. It's amazing. It's 30 years doing, making people laugh. It's amazing. And I'm looking at your picture, not one wrinkle on your face. How do you not laugh?
we have this, it's a Jewish facial cream. It's called Oil of Oive.
I didn't know.
Who knew?
I didn't know if it was ancient pearl cream. I didn't know if it was that. I don't know, you know.
Yes, I've been taking intravenous shots of Pat Boone.
Do you mind? Is John Travolta there with you since we just had Barry Pearl?
Hold on. Let me get. Yeah, John's hanging out. I can't get these celebrities out here. John? All right, this right.
Hey, this is John Travolta. Is this Joanne?
Yeah, John. How are you, honey, buddy?
You know, I'm doing all right. You know, everywhere I go, people always say, you know, I'm like totally immature, right? So you know what I tell them? I say, up your nose with a rubber hose.
Oh, give me the Barbarino song.
That's right. This is Vinnie Barbarino. Ba 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 Barbarino. Ba 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 Barbarino. Ba ba ba. And you know the rest. It's a lot of Barbarinos.
Yeah. It's a lot of Barbarinos. Oh my God.
Yeah. Oh, Al Pacino. Hooah.
Yeah. Ah, hooah, hooah.
Yeah. Hey, Joanne. I'm telling you, hooah.
Is Michael Bolton around by any chance?
Michael Bolton, hold on.
It's Michael Bolton. I don't want to hear without you.
I have no idea what the man's saying when he sings, but it sounds good. It's like Michael McDonald. You love his voice, but he's like, "Hush up, baby, Michael Bolton." You go, I don't know what he said, but I like it.
I know. I know. Well, Frankie's the one you could understand. How about Frank Sinatra?
Frank Sinatra, shooby dooby doo. He used to forget the lyrics. He's like, my kind of town, Jersey is my kind of town. Remember this one? Fairy tales can come true when you're sniffing the glue.
Oh, God. You are too funny. You are too funny.
Well, you know, looks on everything, but I do what I can. But I'm telling you, but it's crazy. I hope you guys are staying safe, though, in Jersey and out there on the East Coast.
Yes, we're doing the best we can. As long as people stay inside and not spread their germs, we're doing good, you know.
Yeah, people are nuts. Like my dad. My dad the other night, my dad's punch drunk. He came home drunk. My mom punched him. It's just too much. I'm telling you. Actually, I should make fun of my dad. He's actually ex-Navy. He was fired from Old Navy. And so, you know, he's real sensitive about that. But, you know,
I said, I said last time we were here, I got to get the snare out and the little cymbal here because this would be perfect.
Yeah, you need that.
I need it. It's down in the basement. I got to go get it. Oh, man, that's too funny. So Scott, what shows have you been on? You've been on ABC, NBC, I mean, every major network. Which kind of shows?
Oh, yeah, a couple of shows for Comedy Central and Fox, America's Funniest People, and, of course, the season 2 of America's Got Talent. And, of course, we're very excited. When all this is over, I've created a brand-new reality show. It's a cooking show featuring stand-up comedians, and it's called Something Smells Funny.
Oh, cool.
And, yeah, we're real excited about that. And so we've been, we're going to go to some of the networks, a couple of people, you know, that we have some contacts with. So we've already filmed 4 full episodes with top comics like Victoria Jackson from Saturday Night Live, Bobby Collins, Jimmy Brogan from The Tonight Show. We've had Mark Christopher Lawrence on.
Oh, wow.
I've had some, other comics like Arsenio and so many others want to come on. So, but it's great. It's a cooking show, and the comedians come on. So we talk about cooking. We talk comedy. It's basically, you know, it's like The Tonight Show in a kitchen. So we're really excited about that. And
That sounds fun.
Yeah, and if you want to know more about it, you know, all your listeners can just go to Facebook and they can go to Something Smells Funny and give us a like. And but we are very excited about it. You're going to eat healthy while busting a gut. All the dishes are good, healthy dishes, and we're just interviewing the comedians. We're having a great time. And just think of us as your new favorite reality show, but in a kitchen. So we've been asked to come to a couple of the networks. But if any of your listeners have any contacts to any of the networks, please let us know. And, me and the executive producer are willing to give a nice big finder's fee if we do sell this. And somebody gives us a hand on that. But we're very excited about Something Smells Funny.
Are you hosting it or are you cooking?
Yeah, I created it. I'm the producer and I'm the host of it. And nice. They're just half-hour shows. I do a little monologue up front, like Jay Leno or Jimmy Fallon or Jimmy Kimmel. I do a couple of minutes up front. We had a live studio audience. We're in a big, full, beautiful kitchen that we have. And the comics come out, and I just interview them while I'm helping them make one of their favorite dishes. And, you know, they're great dishes that are healthy that you can make at home. You can follow right along. All the recipes are on the website at somethingsmellsfunny.tv. And it's just good cooking. And just a lot of comedy. I mean, just, you know, comics in the kitchen, right? So
I can only imagine it's going to be hysterical. You got to let us know when it's going to air so we can let people know to watch it for sure.
Absolutely.
Hey,
so we're very excited
Scott.
About that. So, yes, sir.
Scott, have you ever tried, did you want to do like a couple of minute episode like on YouTube or something like that so everyone could see it? You might get, you know, someone seeing it on there and offer you, you know, the series.
Right.
Yeah, we're definitely going to release. We already have the sizzle reel ready to go, which is kind of like a trailer for the industry.
Cool.
And we already have the pitch deck and everything ready. So we're right, like I said, once, and there's a few meetings we might take one-on-one. We'll all wear our masks, though, me and Tim Watson, who's the executive producer. And it was directed by Christopher Sean Shaw, who's done a lot of great shorts and mini movies and stuff. So we're really excited, but I just reached out to my comedy friends and, you know, doing 30 years in comedy. I know a lot of great comics, big names, small names.
Right.
And so we're really happy about that. Yeah. But we're really hoping to get this on air on a major network, but we probably will be releasing a little bit, but there's a lot of still shots and so much info on the Facebook page of Something Smells Funny there. So if they want, you guys want
That's
to go
great
there and
idea.
Get the word out and tell people
yeah,
to like it. And they can like me on Mr. Punchline as well. I have a Mr. Punchline Facebook, and they can always like me, and I'm posting the jokes, the one-liners. All
well, I don't see why a network wouldn't pick it up. I mean, it's fresh, it's new, it's funny. I mean, come on, you know?
I'm telling you, from your lips to God's ears, Joanne, please.
Cool. I mean, that would be hysterical to watch. I mean, can they actually cook, these people, or no? Or is
oh, yeah.
That's the fun, too, that they can barely
no,
cook.
Well, oh, yeah. Well, we had a lot of accidents with some blenders and food going everywhere. But, no, the comics come on. A lot of them, you know, I mean, Bobby Collins brought on a recipe that was from his wife. Jimmy Brogan, he's single, so he did his famous hummus, his five-minute hummus. You know, so these are great meals that these comics either grew up with from their mom or their dad, maybe
right.
a spouse, a family member,
right.
and we're really keeping it healthy. You know, 39% of America is overweight. There's an obesity problem in this nation, and I thought to myself, how do I get the message out that we need to eat better? And it's all about making a few changes. You know, when I got married, I was 220 pounds. I was
wow.
overweight. I was out of shape, and years later I had a heart attack, and then I realized I had to do something different. So I created this show in 2015, and just by making a few small changes, Joanna, like instead of regular sugar, a sweetened low, maybe some low fat milk. These are dishes
right.
that maybe you love already, but all you need to do is tweak them a little bit. And by
right.
eating a little bit healthier, you'll feel better. You'll look younger. You'll live longer. And I've lost over, I now weigh 170 and I feel fantastic.
Wow.
I walk a mile and a half every day, especially since this quarantine, but it's just about doing little things in your life. And so this is a great, great vehicle for that because people can make healthy dishes and they can laugh along with some hilarious comics. So we're really excited about this.
Yeah, it sounds like a foolproof plan. I mean, I'm sure it'll get picked up. I mean, everything's on hiatus right now. Nobody's doing anything, but now would be the opportune time for somebody to snatch it up since everybody's watching TV. Come on now.
Yeah, we need to
you
get
know?
Someone to snatch it up because, you know, people need to stay home and eat better because we, you know, we used to eat out a lot and not everything you eat out like, you know, I was at Denny's before this whole thing hit, and I asked the Denny's waitress, I said, what do you recommend? And she said, Applebee's. So that's how bad it is out there. And these are the jokes, folks. These are them. But you got to watch what you eat. You know, food can actually kill you. My uncle got run over by Meals on Wheels.
Oh my God! I'm killing myself because I don't have the snare here. But you're going so fast, I don't know if I can keep up with you.
No, you know, I know. You got to have that snare. But
I said it last show. I said we need to get the snare out here every time there's a joke. Boom, you know. But oh my God!
Yeah, I should travel. I need to travel with a drummer.
Yeah. Exactly. So now, are you known as a Christian comedian, or you just do a lot of Christian functions?
Well, you know, I'm a comedian who's a Christian. You know, I love God and I love family and I love everything. You know, I love the Word of God. We're church going people, and yes, but I do churches or comedy clubs, same show. I never have to change a word. I just have always been clean, like Seinfeld and Brian Regan and Ray Romano and Sinbad and all these guys. Because if you work clean, you can work everywhere. You know, like Jimmy Brogan and all the friends that I had come on the show. You know, Victoria Jackson from Saturday Night Live. You know, if you work clean, you can work all the time. And you know, I'm 59 years old. I'm a child of the 60s, and I grew up with all the greats, from Bob Hope to Milton Berle, Henny Youngman, Shecky Green, you know, Alan King. And they all kept it clean. They were funny. They were one-liners. Yeah. They were vaudeville. And they never had to get dirty. Even shows today like I Love Lucy, you know, we show these to our kids and the Andy Griffith Show. I mean, you know, there's never been a better character in the history. In fact, Don Knotts' Barney Fife was actually named the best character of all time in any situation comedy. And you still look at those shows today and they still hold up because they're clean and they're funny because they just, you know, life is funny. And you don't have to be filthy to be funny.
Right, exactly. But there are many who have made a huge career on being filthy too, but you know, well, like I said, I mean, you don't have to be. I mean, we've been on, you know, we've been talking for, 20 minutes, and it's been nice and clean, even from me, which is a shocker. But
I know.
Especially since my best friend was our first caller here.
Right.
I just think
that's the way to go. I try to encourage comics who are starting out. You know, the gentleman that got me really excited about comedy was, and he became a friend, and that's Gene Parrott, and he was Bob Hope's head writer, and he wrote for Phyllis Diller, and he wrote for the Carol Burnett Show. And you know, he just says, you know, when you work clean, you can work everywhere. You know, if you get filthy, you can do clubs, but if you want to do mainstream television or you want to do corporate, I mean, corporate pays a lot of money, and they don't want you, you know, dropping the F word. And talking about your privates and all that, you know, there's only, and then all the comedians start sounding the same, you know, they're all dropping the foul language and you're just looking for some type of originality. That's funny.
It's refreshing.
It is refreshing, especially when you can take the whole family. And I tell comics, look, the more people that are buying tickets, 16-year-olds, 18-year-olds, 19, 20, 21, everybody 60, 70, who's afraid that they're going to hear dirty comedy. You know, me and some of those other comics I mentioned, they don't have to worry about that. So they're all buying tickets. There's more butts in the seats, and that means more money coming to the comedian from the promoter. So it would behoove everyone to just try to work clean to reach a broader audience.
Well, it's the same thing with music. I mean, my son has a friend who is breaking into the rap industry, and I told him, I said, make sure he keeps it clean. He'll never get on the radio. Because who wants to hear beep, 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 beep throughout the whole song, you know? I mean, when you're home, it's different. But, you know, then you got to do the unedited version and, you know, the edited version. It's like, well, why bother, you know? And you really don't need to curse to be effective, you know? You really don't.
Exactly.
You don't.
That's right. I save all my foul language for the freeway.
I save it for work, actually, when I get to work.
It's crazy out there. You know, I heard you guys talking about John Denver. You know, I'm also a friend of John. I've been blessed to open up for John Denver on several shows, and I've opened up for Debbie Reynolds before she passed, Chubby Checker, Frankie Avalon, Blood, Sweat, and Tears, Donna Summer. Oh, gosh, the list goes on and on. And these are great artists that never have to get, you know, filthy with their music, and they can just reach a whole variety.
Right. I saw in your bio, you did Blood, Sweat, and Tears, Beatlemania, Tower of Power, country music, all different types of people.
Yeah, Brooks and Dunn, and I mean, it's just been such a blessing. You know, these are such great shows and family-oriented shows, and, you know, so I'm just glad I'm still upright and in good health. I had a checkup last week. I had a checkup with my doctor, but you have to do it online. And I'll tell you, those prostate exams, they're a little difficult because you got to angle the phone just right. Did I tell you? I don't know if I told you. My doctor, he doesn't like me. About a month ago, he gave my prostate the finger. I'm telling you, Joanne, the man, who gives you a full exam and then puts on a rubber glove to shake your hand?
Scott,
I'm just
going to
keep...
I know you're going to keep going. Who was your, growing up, who was like your main influence to get you out there and give you the nerve and courage to want to do it?
Well, you know, I was always funny as a kid. When I was in the fourth grade, I could make my friends laugh, and I could do voice impressions and cartoon voices and write little jokes. And when it, you know, a comic will tell you when you make people laugh, it just, you know, just that feeling that we're getting. Not only are you guys happy, but we're happy too. And so I just said, man, this is what I really want to do. And so watching all those great comics, you know, Rodney and Henny and Johnny Carson and all those guys, I said, man, this is for me. So so right out of high school, you know, I just worked a regular job by day. And then by night, I would just hit all the comedy clubs. You know, you just try to put your act together, get your 8x10 headshots, some business cards, get a manager. But it's been a great 30-year career since full-time, since 1989. So very excited. You know, I get to do what I love, and I get to make other people feel happy, too. And that is just a blessing for me to bring laughter to everyone, especially right now. I'm doing another online show, a viral show, tomorrow out of California. I did one a couple of weeks ago. So most of the comedy now you just have to watch on Facebook Live or on Zoom. Zoom has never been bigger.
Oh, I know. I wish I had invested in it. Are you kidding me? When it was nothing. I wish I had gotten me a couple of shares of that.
I know.
That's probably...
And my wife.
Imagine.
Yeah, and my wife, too. My wife. Oh, I know. I know, right? I wish I would have invested. We're kicking ourselves now.
Right.
But, anyone who's in the business.
I was doing the old Henny Youngman. My wife. Take my wife, please. Take my wife.
Take my wife, please. Well, my wife is actually a magician. She can turn anything into an argument. So I'm doing the old jokes now.
Hey, Scott, I gotta ask you a question, Scott. Before caller ID, you must have had a blast calling up people pretending to be somebody else.
Oh, boy. We used to make so many pranks. the prank calls, you know. It was, and people, you could just really have them going, you know, and that's been a lot of fun with the impressions too. You know, for years I was on the Rick Dees show and doing a lot of voices and other radio shows. And I just love doing them. I love doing Rodney. Hey, this is Rodney. Relax. Take it easy. Are you kidding me? But my wife, she wanted to make love in the back seat of the car. She wanted me to drive.
So let's say you weren't as successful as you became. What would you have done with your life? What would the career have been for you, your choice?
Probably wandering the street. You know, I probably would have been in radio. But seriously, no, I'm kidding. You know what? I'm a cartoonist. I've been blessed with the ability to be a really good cartoonist, and I've had a lot of my cartoons, you know, publicized in major magazines and newspapers.
Oh, cool.
And so I love to also, and I'm finding a lot of comedians are also cartoonists. And that's kind of, you know, because if you draw the cartoon and you write the little funny gag underneath. And so if I probably wasn't a comedian, I'd probably be probably a cartoonist.
Cool. Nice. So let's say you have kids.
I do. Two that I know of. I'll be honest with you. I'm just kidding. We had three, but one gnawed through the chains and escaped. I have a daughter and a son. My son, he's still young. He loves dinosaurs, so I let him visit my parents. Joanne, I'm telling you, John, you know, my dad is 95. I said, 95, you could go tomorrow. He said, I hope so. I haven't gone today. Got a prostate the size of a bowling ball. It's nuts. The man, it takes him an hour and a half to do the minute waltz.
So now
very macho, work. My dad. His nose hair trimmer is a weed whacker.
Oh, God. Are you able to make your kids laugh? Or are they pretty much like, oh, Dad, we're done. You know, come on. Get over it now.
Well, my son is 13, so he's just starting to get my humor. My daughter is 19. She's already out of the house and got her career going. But, no, mm-hmm. they've always been big fans. They, you know, I've done stuff at their schools, and their friends always think I'm the cool dad. Now, my wife, forget about it. My wife, she's like, you know what? Please, wake me when it's funny. Because my wife, you know what? Because like yesterday we had, because we're stuck inside, we can't go anywhere, so we had a little fight. Well, I call it a little fight, Joanne. They worded it differently on the police report. But I'm going to tell you what happened. She hates the way I dress. She kept telling me in the bedroom, she said, look at you, nothing matches. And that hurt my feelings because I was naked. It's always the little things. Am I right, John? But anyway, my wife says you can laugh in the bedroom, just don't point. But and my wife is beautiful. My wife is African American. You know, they say men are from Mars, women are from Venus. My wife is from LA, so she will cut me. But all of our friends are mixed couples. We have a friend who is Jewish. His wife is Japanese. They named their daughter Sosumi.
That's a good one.
Aren't you glad you have me on and not Jackie Martlin again?
Oh, yes.
Oh, my God.
We love Jackie.
No, Jackie's great. I don't know what happened. He just wasn't into it. He didn't want to talk about anything funny. He was pretty much down in the dumps over the corona. The Rona got him down. I don't know what happened. I don't know. He was not up for sharing any laughter.
Well, you have to find things to keep you busy. Like me, I work out now more than ever, which, in fact, I've already dropped 2 dress sizes. So I'm very, very excited about that. But you just find things, you know. We all have time now to do those things that we didn't have time to do before. So, and we're getting family time. So that's, you know, that's always fun. Except for, you know, my family. Like, you know, there's 5 kids growing up, 4 other siblings plus me. There's 7 kids on my wife's side. Her dad had stretch marks. But I'll tell you how dumb my brother is. We were talking health care, Joanne, health care. I said to my brother, hey, Bob, are you HMO? And he said, no, I like women. I mean, I told him your laptop has windows. He bought curtains. I'm going to tell you how dumb he is. I said, for extra money, you should try flipping houses. He got a hernia. There's one more. He's so dumb. Ask me how dumb my brother is, Joanne.
How dumb is your brother, Scott?
He's so dumb. I told him, I said, most accidents happen within a mile of where you live. He moved. I like how John giggles every now and then. But anyways, he's like 2 jokes behind me.
I know, I love when John's happy.
But listen, I have a new way to lose weight. If you're stuck inside, you don't have to keep snacking. I invented this new, you can have whatever you want, you just can't swallow.
Oh, there you go.
you know what my sister's doing? My sister's doing that new carrot and oats diet. Have you heard about carrot and oats?
No.
That's all she eats, carrots and oats. She hasn't lost any weight, but 2 weeks ago she won the Kentucky Derby. But anyway.
Oh, Scott, you are hilarious. Oh, my God. Thank you.
I know, right? I'm just trying to bring the laughter to your listeners.
And you brought it to me for sure. I needed that. I needed it. I needed a good.
And I love Jersey. I was, I went to. There was a zoo. There's actually a zoo in New Jersey, and boy, is it cheap! Yeah, all they have are balloon animals. Are you from Jersey? Which exit?
I'm on 155.
There you go. You see, I know all the Jersey jokes. You know, Frank was from Hoboken.
Yes, he was. Yes, he was. Yep. But, man, I don't want to let you go because I'm laughing too hard. Give us some more impressions.
Now, let me ask you this, Joanne. What is the relationship between you and John? I didn't do my – are you guys just partners in crime there, or are you married?
His wife would kill me.
Oh.
No,
I
hear
you,
my friend.
We're kind of like best friends who never met each other in person.
Exactly.
Right.
It's a very strange relationship that we have, but it's a wonderful one.
It's complicated.
It is complicated. John was actually a fan of my music, and he knew somebody that I was doing another show with, and I wanted out of that show, and John and I put this together, and it's just been wonderful ever since, and him and his wife
good.
And his whole family is just wonderful. I mean, to put up with me, that they got to be. And I love him and Alice to death. I can't thank them enough for everything. And it's just been great. And we've never met, believe it or not. And we've known each other now for almost a year.
Wow. That's right.
Yeah. And we've never actually met. So we're waiting.
And with the coronavirus, I don't even know how people meet. How do people meet during the COVID-19? What are you walking around going, "Hey, baby, nice mask"?
True.
I don't know.
With everyone in the U.S. wearing masks, it's never been a better time for ugly Americans.
That's true too.
Well, I said it. You could walk in and rob anything right now, and you wouldn't get a call because they'd say, "Who was it?" Oh, they were wearing a mask. It could be anybody walking down the street, you know.
Exactly. Never thought I'd walk into a bank with a mask on and asking money, and they gave it to me. But
right, exactly.
But that's good.
Can you do?
Well, marriage is fun, though.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
What's that?
I wanted to know if you could do a few more impressions for us before we go.
Yeah, let me see. Let me do some of my favorite ones, like Liam Neeson from Taken.
I want you to listen to me very carefully, Joanne. Very carefully. Are you listening?
Yes.
I will find you. While I'm on quarantine, I've acquired a set of skills: cooking, cleaning, sewing. How about Morgan Freeman? Hello, I'm Morgan Freeman. You know, my voice is so low, I got a hernia. Morgan Freeman. I have a brand new movie out where I'm the chauffeur and Hillary Clinton's in the back. It's called Driving Miss Crazy.
Well, how about Johnny Carson? This is Johnny Carson. Are you ready for this? It was so hot. It was so hot in Burbank. Are you ready
for
this?
How hot was it?
Well, I'm glad you asked. It was so hot. I saw a dog chasing a cat. They were both walking.
Oh, John, do you do any impersonations, John?
Me? No, I can't do anything.
Just like my kids. Hey, do either of your spouses snore? Because my wife snores so loud. Last night I got a sore throat. You know what my wife has? Sleep apnea. That's where during the night she stops breathing several times when I'm choking her.
Scott, are you originally from L.A., or are you...
Yes. Me and my wife, born and raised Southern California. I'm a California kid, blonde hair, blue eyes, you know, the whole bit. And, I'm a Cali kid. I love it out here. But I love New York, and I've been there several times. I've been to Jersey doing shows. I love the East Coast. If I didn't live here, I'd probably live on the East Coast, you know. East Coast is more – it's big for theater. A lot of theater, and Broadway and things like that. And of course, the West Coast out here is a little bit more of stand up with the clubs and stuff. Although they have, you know, Caroline's and Stand Up New York and a few other great clubs out there, the Improv. But born and bred California. I love Los Angeles, man. It's where men are men and women are men.
Oh my God! So now let's say this, the world wasn't crazy right now. Where would you have been? Where could we have seen you if the world?
Oh boy! Yeah, I lost a lot of shows. I had some big club dates. I had some big theater shows because I travel with the Platters and the Coasters and the Drifters.
Nice.
You know the,
nice.
But we just moved a couple of those shows back. Thank God, you know, a lot of my shows, they didn't really cancel. They just got kind of put on hiatus. So after the summer, you know, now they're just kind of, you know, redoing everything and pushing everything back. But, honestly, the only thing I have booked between now and the end of the year is a colonoscopy. and I'm going to be honest with you. It's not even for me. A friend of mine's getting one, but he said I could do 10 minutes in the room. Those crazy me and my proctologist, we don't see eye to eye.
Yeah, I didn't think so.
Proctology. I love that profession. You start at the bottom and stay there.
Yeah, right. Oh my God. Give us a couple more impressions before we go. I'm
trying to think of who do I do? Let's see. How about Schwarzenegger?
This is to me. This is Arnold. It's fantastic and pumped. You know, you need to wash your hands. You need to do, you know, 20 minutes before you get down.
Get down. It's not a tumor.
That's right. It's not a tumor.
I like Stallone because when you see a Sylvester Stallone movie, you need subtitles. You, right? You, right?
Oh, my God. Now, if you were to, let's say they bring everything back and they say everybody has to wear a face mask and all that, would you have a problem performing with the face mask? Because a lot of your stuff is probably expressions as well. So you think that's
a
problem?
Yeah, it is. But, yeah, so hopefully I won't have to. But my wife enjoys me wearing a face mask, so she doesn't have to put up with the mug. But, you know, that's just, again, ugly Americans unite. I'm very excited, but I'm just looking forward to getting back on the stage and making people laugh. And man, I really, really appreciate you guys. Maybe I can I end with a joke?
Oh, absolutely.
Sure.
This is one of my favorite jokes. The guy goes, he's in court. He goes before the judge, and the judge says, "Sir, you've been brought up here on murder charges." It says here, "Your first wife died from drinking tea. Your second wife died from drinking tea. But your third wife died from a bullet into the head. Can you explain?" And he says, "Yeah, she wouldn't drink the tea."
I actually read something today that, you know, a lot of people, on a down note, that there's a lot of domestic violence right now because people are stuck with each other more than normal. But you know what they said about the wives? Just poison the husband because they're not doing autopsies right now. They'll just say it's corona. You know?
Exactly. That's right. God. And we're all wearing gloves, too, so there's no fingerprints.
Right. No autopsy, nothing. Nobody cares. They just do it, you know. But,
that's right.
Yeah. Well, I'm looking forward to your show. Oh, God. What's it again? Cooking?
Something Smells Funny.
Something Smells Funny. Yes, I got to write that down because I want to post it.
Yeah, the cooking show featuring stand-up comedians, and we're going to start pitching that. And like I said, if any of your listeners want to DM me, through Mr. Punchline or Something Smells Funny, you can go to either Facebook page, Mr. Punchline or Something Smells Funny. And, but we have a couple of networks that we're taking it to. Or if anyone out there has a someone who works at a network or a friend of a network, you know, let Joanne know. She can let me know. And there'll be people need cash right now, so we're going to offer a really nice, as far as money goes, we're going to give a nice big finder's fee to anybody who can help us get this show on TV. But I like I said, we have our foot in the door with a couple of places, but we could always use some more contacts. But like you said, everyone really is excited about it. So hopefully between now and the end of the year.
Scott, is there a trailer or something you can send me so I can share it? Because I do have a lot of Facebook friends that are in the industry, so you never know.
I will do that. I will absolutely do that. I will send you the link, and you guys can look at it, and it's a lot of fun. And, man, we're just looking forward to it. But, hey, you guys be safe. Stay safe.
Yes.
Cover your cough. You know?
Yes. You too.
So I love social distancing. I haven't seen my wife's mom in months.
I gotta say, that's one reason I didn't mind Easter this year one bit, and I won't say why.
I know.
I'll leave it at that because I didn't have to leave the house. So.
I hear you.
And I'm sort of a homebody anyway, so this really isn't affecting me too much. I kind of digging it, you know. I mentioned a couple of weeks. I haven't worn a bra in about 2 weeks now, which is really nice to let the girls just be free. So I'm digging
it. Oh, hey, you and me both.
It is a nice thing.
I'm letting Lucy and Ethel out tonight, baby.
Oh, Scott, you're crazy. I love you. Thank you so much for joining us. Oh, my God.
Thank you, Scott.
Scott, we have a lot of people that listen to the show after the fact, so I'm sure they're going to enjoy it thoroughly. Where can they get you again? Facebook, Mr. Punchline, and
yes,
where else?
Facebook, Mr. Punchline, Facebook, Something Smells Funny, MrPunchline.com. If they want to go to Twitter, it's at Clean Comic. I'm clean. I'm a comic. That's at Clean Comic on Twitter if they want to send me a tweet. And, of course, Donald Trump, I love the tweet. Beware the tweets. The tweets are coming.
Tremendous,
tremendous tweets.
Well, thank you. Oh, my God. Scott, thank you so much. It's been a pleasure, and I'm so glad I got to know you. Thank you to Eileen Mayo, who is my distant cousin, and for hooking us up and putting us together. So I love it.
Yeah, thank you.
Do you know Eileen personally?
I sure do. She's so sweet, and we talk all the time on social media, and it's because of her that she hooked me up with you two wonderful people. So I'm blessed just to know you, and have me back anytime. I would love to come back.
Oh, we'd love to have you back. You kidding?
That'd be great, Scott.
Do you know the connection I have with Eileen? Do you know the connection I have with Eileen?
No, what is that?
Oh, she found me on Facebook, and she's like, I think we're related. I'm like, oh, my God, right? You know, so she's doing the whole DNA ancestry crap and all that. So we'll know soon enough. So it sounds very, very close to the fact that we are very related. And I would love that. I told her, I said, whatever the results are, we're family anyway. So I don't really care.
Yeah. That'd be a blessing. I spent $300 on Ancestry.com, and I found out I'm white. So there's $300 I won't get back. My gang name is Casper. So my butler will stab you. But anyway, well, you guys keep laughing.
Yes, thank you for making me laugh. I really
thank you, Scott.
Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure. All the best to you on the Something Smells Funny. Please send me something so that I can share it with our listeners and our folks on Facebook. Hey, you never know. Like I said, I have a lot of Facebook friends who are in the industry, so you never know.
Great, because I have a lot of friends in low places, so that's not going to help me out.
Mine are in low places too, but you know, they still have a job doing what they do. But yeah, but I'm.
I hear you. I hear you. My dad never liked me. In fact, I was not even a planned birth. I was an accident. And in fact, my dad's nickname growing up for me was "Stupid Condom." So, blessings to you guys. You guys take care. Have a great rest of the night.
Thank you, Scott.
Take care, Scott. Stay safe.
Thank you. Take care.
You too. Bye-bye.
All right, honey. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Did I need that? Oh, geez. Oh, he's so funny.
That was great.
He's hysterical. When we talked on the phone, I was like, oh, boy, we are in for a treat. He called me up. now, you know I'm not a big fan of the man in the White House. And I post some stuff about him. I get a phone call.
Pence?
John.
From Pence?
Yeah, so I get a phone call, and it's him on the phone. I'm like, he goes, this Joanne? And I said, yes, can I help you? And he goes, well, I'd like to know, you know. And I was like, oh, crap, screwed now, you know. since I replied to one of his tweets, as well. So I said, oh, boy, they're out to get me now. They sure are out to get me. So, but, oh, man, Scott Wood, hysterical. Thank you so much. What a pleasure. And, of course, Barry Pearl, another pleasure and a treat and a thrill to meet both of these fellows. And would love to meet them in person. Scott, I would love to see in person. How funny would that be, John? Oh, my God.
That would be great.
He just shared only a little bit with us. Could you imagine that? Oh, my God, he's so funny. He is hysterical. All right. Our sponsors, thank you to the High Barn Bistro, Garfield, New Jersey, Precious Memory Video in Kitnersville, Pennsylvania, KWV Wine South Africa, and Tees for the Times in Clifton, New Jersey. We are updating our site. Please be patient. It's under renovation. Once it's up, it's going to be fabulous. You folks who have been asking for John's movies and my music, you'll be able to get it if you want it. And in the meantime, let's, of course, John, where was the calendar? Across the room. All right. On Wednesday, big show Wednesday, the 22nd, the whole show by popular demand, Mr. Artie Hoffman, our resident psychic here. He I don't know if you guys know, but every Sunday he does a freebie for everybody for like an hour on his site, and it's really nice. I mean, for him to do that, that's amazing. So, but if you're feeling down, he can definitely pick you up too. I mean, he's got some great, great advice about things. And so that's the 22nd Wednesday with Artie. And then, we actually sealed the deal. We've got Don Most coming up. We've got Greg Kinn coming up. We've got John Ford Coley coming up. Oh, God, we've got so many people. We've got Stanley Livingston coming up from My Three Sons. We've got the, Henry Gross is coming up. Norman Fox is coming. I mean, I can't even tell you. Larry Hankin from Friends. Scott Silver. We have some amazing guests coming up for you guys. And you know what? We do it just for you. So hope you enjoy it. John, I'm good. How about you? Are you good?
Yeah, we're doing good. And we'll see everybody on Wednesday.
You got it. Well, everybody stay safe, happy, healthy, and home. And the sooner we do that, the sooner we can get back out and do what we normally do. So thank you all for listening. John, thank you as always. I love you. You know that. And,
love you too. You take care.
Yes, you too. And I will see you soon.
Everybody, good night.
Good night. Hasta pasta, everybody. Ciao for now.